Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is at a public information officer conference, and so we have one of his co-workers, another public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon. Sergeant Sturgeon, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So you and I actually talked a little bit this week. You and I don't talk all that much, but you were the person I was checking with you, I think, on Sunday about what was going on at the AMC Bayou 15 Theater. We had been there about an hour before all of the fracas began, but huge response from PPD. If I'm not mistaken, you probably had just about every active cruiser on scene. What happened?
Yeah, so AMC Theater on Bayou Boulevard, we got a call around 7:30 p.m. From a caller that was explaining that there was a very large gathering and disturbance in the parking lot of the theater. We got reports of fighting. We did respond. We did have large amount of response, especially once we realized the number of people who were there. It was approximately 300 youth gathered there. And we also requested some assistance from the Scambia County Sheriff's Office for some manpower assistance, being that it was such a large group. But there was a large disturbance and there was fighting, and it did unfortunately end up in some arrests. But it was National Cinema Day. That was probably and likely a contributing factor to the large abundance of people at the theater that day. But ultimately, the theater decided to close their business because of the incident that happened.
Yeah, and you know, I know that it was a bit of a fluid situation at the time, but you had at first told me that they closed the doors and weren't letting people in or out, and then at some point after that, they made the decision to just close down and evacuate the building, right? Which meant, I mean, I assume when they were evacuating the building, they're still, because I know from text, people were having to basically evacuate through the crowd that was still being dispersed. Is that right?
Right. I think first the concern was what was going on outside, and they didn't want it spilling in.
Yeah.
Once the threat, or the concern was kind of validated with the large amount of people, the business ultimately decided to just stop operation, have everybody exit, and just close the business because of the concern.
And so as a result of that, I think there were three juveniles that wound up being arrested. Did you ever determine what was the nature of what caused the fight, what led to all of this, or anything along those lines?
Not specifically. I don't know the specifics of what initiated the fighting, okay. But there was just multiple disagreements in the group. But these juveniles are very young. I mean, the arrests that we made were from 12 to 15 years old.
Oh.
And there were some misdemeanor and felony charges. Obviously a fray, the mutual fighting amongst individuals was obviously involved. But yeah, very young.
Felony charges.
So we had a battery on a law enforcement officer.
Oh, on a law enforcement officer. And is the cop okay?
Yes, doing good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, a battery on a cop, that'll get you the felony. Okay. Well, thank you so much for kind of clearing that up. Wow, that's awful. One of the things that we saw this week was that there's a grant that you guys are going to get. It's a port-related grant. We talked about this with the mayor yesterday, but this is going to give you the opportunity to purchase a mobile command center, the kind of thing I think, if I'm not mistaken, we see like the Scambia Sheriff's Office has one of these, but you didn't until now have one, and this is going to allow you to create one or have one. Is that right?
Right. So the command, the center that we utilize now, it's not up to date. It's we're outgrowing it. And this one is going to be up to date with the newest technology. It's going to have slide outs, working stations. It's going to serve dual purposes. It'll be more fit for the needs, and it'll also be able to be used, during critical incidents, but also by hopefully neighboring agencies or our affiliates, such as the fire department and, our units like the SWAT and the negotiations team, things like that. But, looking forward to the update of technology and the ability to use it amongst you know, utilizing with various agencies.
Okay. So it's meant to be multi-agency integration, you know, sort of a integrated command concept. That makes good sense to me. I didn't catch that part of it from the mayor, so thank you for amplifying my understanding. You also have, do we have an update at all on the plumber's van that's been serving as a SWAT vehicle? We're working on getting the new one in, something that actually we should have had a long time ago, but any update on that?
Yeah, so it has been ordered. It was selected and ordered, and we're anticipating, hopefully, we more than likely will have that before we have the command center post, you know, we're hoping to have that maybe with the armored vehicle by late this year, maybe early next year, and then with anticipation of maybe that mobile command center coming after that, you know, maybe late next year.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good news. Yeah, that's pretty fast. I mean, I've gotten accustomed to everything these days that you order, like an ambulance or a fire truck, is just like 2 years. You know, you can't get them unless you buy one that's like a demo model or something like that. So that's good news that it's coming in so quick. We always like to end with some kind of a cop myth or a did you know. And this is one I guess I kind of heard, but I didn't realize people were serious about this. Do people ever think 911 is the thing you call for to get information?
Oh, yeah, or just even to give information. So obviously, not, you know, emergency information, that's one thing. But, you know, there's this notion that 911, you know, is a, you know, a line to be able to just pass on non-emergency information. So what people may not know is that there are non-emergency lines unique to agencies or local agencies surrounding them. And the difference is that on a non-emergency line, a call taker is going to, you know, receive that information and decide whether that needs to be passed along to dispatch or maybe to an investigative division, something like that, or just maybe followed up with. However, you know, a 911 call is answered by a dispatcher. The dispatchers are specifically trained to answer those emergency calls. So whenever someone calls a 911 line in an emergency line, you're taking up a dispatcher who then is preoccupied to maybe not be able to immediately take an actual emergency call. So I think people just don't know that there's a difference between a call taker and a dispatcher and what those lines are designed for. And maybe knowing ahead of time what your local non-emergency line is for your police department. You know, it's a helpful thing.
And by the way, I mean, look, I have started this practice as far back as when we lived in Illinois, but everywhere I've ever lived, I've always, like, kind of first thing I'll do is I'll go look up the non-emergency line for Escambia County Sheriff, FHP, Santa Rosa County Sheriff, PPD, Gulf Breeze, and those are all in my phone. That way, if I see something in a locale where I know, you know, I don't need to call an emergency number, but I need to tell somebody, that's all in my phone. And, you know, I always put them under police and then the agency. So all I have to do is look for the P's to find what I need. But yeah, absolutely. That's good advice for people. And please don't call 911 for that kind of stuff. Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon, she is a public information officer with the Pensacola Police Department. Brittany, thanks so much for the time this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I always appreciate you. Take care.